Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Dave's Good Vibration Station with Dave Cohen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Just tuned in to Dave's Good Vibration Station here on LATalkRadio.com, world's most listened to internet talk radio station. Bwah! Yeah. Talk about anything and everything to raise your vibration, assist you in embodying anything and everything that you wish to embody through understanding this human experience from a different perspective. Welcome to the Vibration Station. I'm your host, Davey. This is the show where we talk about anything and everything to raise your vibration. We offer to you ideas, concepts, techniques, approaches to this human experience for the sole purpose of assisting you in embodying everything that you wish to embody, experience, all that good stuff. Today is a very special show, and I'll tell you why. Number one, we have a LA Talk Radio classic here on Dave's Vibration Station. My very first co-host ever. Years ago, when I was 15, 16, that was like 9 years ago. Jeez, it's been 9 years since we've been here on LA Talk Radio. My very first co-host, literally my brother, my soul brother. And not only that, but I'm so blessed that he's such a wise and inspiring individual. I'd like to welcome my dear brother, Colin.
Hey, what's good, world?
Colin! Yes!
Okay, Colin. Let's get to it.
I love it. So as you guys might know, if you've listened to the last month's shows, we have been focusing a lot on not only teaching you the law of attraction, but also teaching you how to manifest the means to allow yourself the fiscal, the monetary opportunity to actually live the life of your dreams and manifest the life of your dreams. Well, Colin, along with being an extremely enlightened individual, he also just so happens to be a crypto master.
Almost.
Crypto master. Colin, for those of you that are not familiar with what a crypto master is, well, cryptocurrencies, that's what Colin has studied. He's dedicated a good portion of his life to understanding cryptocurrencies, decentralized currencies, blockchain technology, and just understanding basically this entirely new global monetary system that we've been talking about here on LA Talk Radio. Colin, do you want to, just for the listeners, let's just say it's first time listening, they've never heard of cryptocurrency or Bitcoin or anything, what is a cryptocurrency?
Cryptocurrency is a investment that has technology backed in it. It basically allows users to talk to each other, to build networks with each other, all through a method called decentralization, which basically, instead of a server farm, which runs basically Google or Amazon, It is run by people called miners that basically donate computer power to allow for the network to run symbiotically with everyone doing it instead of just like one person doing it or one company running the whole thing. And it makes it so it's a method so that nobody gets too power hungry. I don't know how else to say that.
Beautifully said. A method to where nobody gets too power hungry. So see, the beautiful thing about decentralized currencies, and Colin's going to go into this a little bit more as we engage in the show. But the beautiful thing about cryptocurrencies is it is algorithmically unmonopolizable. So it can't be monopolized. It doesn't matter if, like, basically, okay, USD asset class can be monopolized because it is monopolized. Exactly. It's not that it can be. It has been since its creation. And that was actually the constructs of the USD was to have a monopolized currency. So the elitists, the people that control the money supply, can continue to control the money supply. What does that mean to control the money supply? That means that they can actually change the value of the currency, just like what happened in Argentina in 2008, the Argentinian currency crisis. Basically, overnight, due to a central policy decision, they had a 75% devaluation of their purchasing power. That means if you had 100,000 Argentinian pesos in an Argentinian bank before the central policy decision, after the central policy decision, that 100,000 Argentinian pesos is now worth 25,000 Argentinian pesos. If you had $100 pesos, now it's worth 25. So that's what a centralized government can do to a currency system, especially when it starts to inflate at the velocity and at the rate that the USD is. Now, why are we sharing this information with you on Dave's Good Vibration Station? Because it is important for you to understand how to manifest abundance. Abundance is all part of spirituality, and that's something that we have not necessarily neglected here in the Vibration Station. We just haven't talked too much about it. We haven't dove into the concepts of how to actually manifest the tangible abundance that we all talk about in regards to in relationship to manifesting life, your dreams. So that's why we bring in specialists like Colin, and I love Colin so much because he's a currency specialist. He understands monetary history, understands cryptocurrencies, the blockchain network, and he also is extremely enlightened. He understands spirituality, sacred geometry. He's the whole package. Oh yeah, ladies. Well, guess what? He's taken. shout out to Annie. Much love to you. And thank you for letting me borrow your man. And he was mine first. I'm kidding. Totally kidding. And I also want to say happy birthday, Colin.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Man.
Okay, let's get to this. 2017 has been an insane year for crypto.
Insane.
I think Litecoin had about 5,000%. It went up 5,000%. Ethereum was like 3,200%. Bitcoin was a good like 4,000%. So I think 2018 is going to be the year that all of these quote unquote shill coins. Shill is basically people pumping money into it, taking their money out, and just having it. So it basically, it's like an investment tool. But 2018 is going to be the year that every useful cryptocurrency becomes more inflated, more it becomes more essential for all of the actual valuable coins to come on top of all of the other shill coins.
Right. Okay, so that's a great concept that you just brought up, because I was thinking to myself, How do altcoins? Well, first of all, what's the difference between an altcoin and a shill coin, and a pump and dump?
An altcoin pretty much embodies anything that isn't a Bitcoin.
Okay, is Ether an altcoin?
Yes.
No way. I had no idea. I thought like Monero, Zcash, Dash. I thought those were like, and like Digibyte. You know, I thought those were like considered altcoins. I know that those are considered altcoins, but I didn't know that Ether was considered altcoin as well. I thought that basically like Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Litecoin were like...
Yeah, I guess that's who you talk to.
No, I think you're right. I think that makes perfect sense.
And then a shillcoin is basically anything that doesn't have any real-world value, and I'm going to reference Dogecoin, which is pretty much a joke. It was invented by the guy who runs Reddit just for basically a Reddit... It's a Reddit coin. And the logo is basically like a dog, and and he just did it as a joke, and now it's worth a cent. That's crazy.
Wow.
It's worth a cent because people are pumping it. And when I was investing into it just because I didn't know what it was, after I looked into it, I had like 11,000 of it, and it cost me like $50. But now, wow, like, looking at it, like, I guess I could have made money, but I just put it into another coin that I thought actually had some real world value.
Right.
And that is going to be the future. There are going to be shill coins along the way that are tempting. For example, Verge. Verge, I looked into and I was super excited about it. It would look like another privacy coin like Monero. But when you actually look at the white pages of it, white pages are basically the specs of the coin.
Sure. Sure.
Or white papers, sorry. And if you look at the white papers of Verge, it is not actually it's not actually private. Like, you can actually look at all of the transactions, like, which makes it non-private. Like Monero, everything is private. You can't look at any of the transactions. You can't look at anything. So
There's no, like, blockchain with Monero? Or is there... That's so interesting. How do they...
Well, there is a blockchain. It's hidden, though. It's encrypted.
Interesting. Okay, please go on. I didn't know that.
No, go on.
So, essentially, how will the shill coins affect the price of Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Litecoin in 2018? Because, so, today's show... If you haven't already caught on, because I was going to say this, but then we just got wrapped up. Today's show is dedicated to understanding cryptocurrencies in 2018. What it means to be a crypto investor in 2018. We're going to approach multiple different aspects of it. And Colin, being the crypto master, crypto king that we got right here. Colin CTCK, Colin the Crypto King, we got in the studio. This is a great show for you guys that are looking, that are familiar with cryptocurrencies or aren't familiar with cryptocurrencies, but still looking to get more information on it. So how will the shill coins affect the price of Bitcoin, Ethereum, Litecoin, like basically the most accepted and globally utilized cryptocurrencies on the planet? How will the shill coins affect those?
In the short term, it will take away the potential of the money coming into there. But you have to think about it this way. Let's say Shillcoin X. We have everybody is talking about it. Oh, it has all these things. It doesn't really have any of those things. It's kind of just a scam.
Right.
Basically, people will put money into it. Everybody's talking about it. People are posting it on Facebook, putting money into it.
Totally.
It goes up to, say, Shillcoin X goes up to 25 cents. Wow, it's gone up 3,000% in the last month. Okay.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, okay, this is too high. It's a bubble. Like,
right.
And then people look into it and it's like, this actually doesn't do anything. And the money's still there. What do we do with the money? Instead of selling it, people could put it back into USD. That's expensive. Instead of selling it to USD, they're like, oh, we could take our profits from the Shillcoin X, which does absolutely nothing, and put it into one of those real-world values, or real-world value coins. And basically, so Shillcoin X, everybody realizes that this doesn't do anything, and they take the money and they put it into Ethereum or Litecoin.
Right.
In the end, from a month ago, the money came from USD, turned into Shillcoin X, and turned into Ethereum and Litecoin. So I think in the end,
right,
all of those coins will be weeded out, but it will put more money into the crypto world.
Totally. That makes perfect sense. It's basically going to maximize people's potential to accumulate more coins with actual value.
Yeah.
As opposed to like sitting in the pump and dumps and just like trying to ride them out. Those are more short term, as where obviously the vetted coins are long term. You know, Bitcoin, Ethereum, Ripple, Litecoin, Dash, kind of these things. But the smaller ones that are, you know, trading at a tenth of a penny or a hundredth of a penny or even a penny right now, you know, people are putting, I mean, Colin, you did this. You put, you know, $500-$600 into a coin that's like not even a full penny, and then it'll go up to a penny, and then you'll, you know, quadruple your money. And it's just amazing how that happens. Then you could take that profit and then put it into Bitcoin or Ethereum or Litecoin or, you know, obviously the current.
Well, there's this concept that evolved from a typo online called HODL, which is basically hold spelled wrong. That's H-O-D-L. So HODLing is a reference to cryptocurrency where you're basically, it's basically like, no matter what happens to the price, you just hold. It doesn't matter. It'll go back up. It'll go down. It'll go back up. But in the long term, it'll always go up. We don't know. It's speculation. But in the last several years, that's what people have been doing. They're just like, instead of me trading and looking at my phone every 20 minutes, even when I'm sleeping, I'd rather just keep working, putting money into it. And like that's basically the best investment plan that you could have.
100%. No, I personally, I couldn't agree more. So I have a question for you, brother. Being the having the experience that you've had, now I'm just going to talk about Bitcoin for a sec and then Ethereum. So first, Bitcoin. In your experience, you've had a lot of experience with Bitcoin. You've known about it since like 2009, 2010. Came out in 2009. You were aware of it, and you actually had quite a lot back in the day. We won't talk about that.
We won't talk about that.
But yeah, you know, you were in the game. You were in the crypto game. You knew how to mine
it.
No, you
knew what you were doing. Actually was just using it as a tool. I wish I was in the game. Like, that would be wonderful. If I knew what it was really going to be, I would have been in the game. But no, I was just using it as a tool for me to get things that I wanted.
And
in the end, that kind of was detrimental to me. But like, there's never a bad time to invest.
Absolutely. It's so true. So I have a question here, man. I'm looking, if you guys pull up Coinbase, I don't know if, you know, any listeners there that have Coinbase or if you have Gemini, any of the exchanges, go ahead and pull it up for a sec. You could do this with us. Go to the all section where you could look at the chart. You can look at it for a 1 hour, 1 hour chart, 1 day chart, 1 week, 1 month, 1 year and all. Okay, so if I look at the all chart, it starts here at $13.33 back in like May. It's like at the very, it's about May of 2013. So it started at $13, May 2013. From June, from May to June, it was $102. Okay, now we jump. All of a sudden, it hit in November $1,000. Then it's back down. So, okay. And then in March of 2015, back down to $200. And then all of a sudden, $600, $700, $1,000, February 2017. So it looks like that we, and I'll tell you why I'm going over this. So between 2013 and 2000, really kind of like the beginning of 2017, we saw it stay between like, you know, we'll just call it $10 for the sake of ease. We saw it stay between like $10 and $1,000. And then all of a sudden in the last year from...
Last 6 months.
Oh, last 6 months has been crazy. But like, if you take from just January of... Well, actually it started in like May. Yeah, you know, January of 2017 all the way to... September, it only went up $3,000. And then all of a sudden, from September to last week, we're looking at a $16,000 upswing. That's, I mean, that is absolutely unheard of. So my question for you, Colin, is with your understanding of this specific coin, Bitcoin, the largest crypto, the largest and most widely accepted cryptocurrency on the planet, how can something for the first, 2009, 10, 11, 12, for the first 6 years, stay between 1,000, and then in the last year, go from basically 1,000 to 3,000 in the first 6 months, and then 3,000 to almost 20,000 in that last 6 month period. Do you think it's a bubble? What do you think is going to happen to the price? I mean, it's popping off in a way that no other investment tool has ever popped off before. It's absolutely insane. So I'm just curious as to what your professional opinion is in regards to the extreme volatility, like the unheard of, unseen, unexperienced.
Okay, so my comment on a bubble is this quote that I have, or more like a comment online.
Beautiful.
Yes, Bitcoin is in a bubble, but that's really not an interesting point. The really interesting question is whether, when, and how hard it will pop. We have seen six bubbles in Bitcoin so far, each one peaking higher than the previous, each drop landing higher than where the bubble started.
Right.
Bitcoin grows by bubbles. Bitcoin bubble is also the least dangerous, least systematic, and yet most talked about bubble. The bigger and scarier the bubble are in stocks, bonds, national debt, real estate, student loans, healthcare, etc., all of these bubbles, including Bitcoins, are driven by anemic productivity growth in the context of massive stimulus and negative interest rates. Money is cheap, and there are no good productive investments that are not already inflated into bubbles.
Right.
Yes, Bitcoin is in a bubble, and a lot of weak hands have bought it out into sheer FOMO, basically fear of missing out.
Fear of missing out.
Without any understanding of the underlying tech. Yes, it will probably correct sharply at some point in the future. Those who have understanding of the underlying tech and long-term value will hold. The weak hands will panic, and then we will start looking at the bubble number 8, where it will take us to the next high.
Wow.
So basically, every kind of currency is always a bubble. So everyone talks about bubbles because, one, cryptocurrency is in the age of everyone being able to talk to each other all the time and reading the news on the internet. So basically, it's the most talked about bubble, but everything is in a bubble. And the bubble always comes, when it pops, it always comes as... It comes higher than when the bubble started. So what this guy is saying is just hodl.
Right.
Just hodl.
Right.
And I think basically my second thought is Bitcoin is, it will be great, but it needs a lot of work. Yeah. A lot of these other smaller coins are like a lot better. But right. That doesn't mean Bitcoin can't have those things as well. It is open source. It is, people are able to manipulate it and help it and grow it. And I think the fact is that in the future it will be better. Right now it's clunky. It's like a car from the 70s. Nobody wants. I mean, like people want those cars, but I'm saying like the average person doesn't want to have a car that gets 8 miles to the gallon.
Right.
And like it doesn't really make sense for the average person unless you're a collector.
Of course, no, that makes perfect sense. And when you say that, like other coins, like these other altcoins are quote unquote better. Are you referring to the technology, like the algorithm that backs it? Or
not only that, it's like Bitcoin is expensive to trade.
Very much.
And it's also slow.
Yeah.
So a lot of other coins are way faster. Some of them are instantaneous, like Rayblox.
Right.
Some of them are pretty much free to trade. And in the future, I think that Bitcoin can have those things.
Right.
But... as of now, it's a clunky old 70s car with rust all over it.
Interesting. And that's so interesting to hear you say that as opposed to a bunch of other people that, you know, I actually work one of my careers, the career paths that I've followed, is actually assisting people in, you know, converting retirement accounts into cryptocurrency retirement accounts. So I talk to people all day long about, you know, Bitcoin and Ethereum and what their thoughts are on it. And from a mass global consciousness scale, from everyone that we deal with, and we handle accounts even outside of the US, it seems like everyone's lit up on Bitcoin. Like, to the masses, Bitcoin seems like the shiny new, like, 2018 car, you know? But to people that have been in the crypto game for a while, it seems like the clunky old 70s car.
Because they look at it as an investment tool, and right. That's not what it is.
Not the technology
itself. It is much more than the money behind it.
It is. It definitely is.
It is a tool to release us from vicious banks that yes. charge us for everything that we possibly can do.
Yes.
And I'm not saying Bitcoin is the answer to that, because who knows what the future holds, but it is a way to release us. And it is also people, when I talk to people, it's like, oh yeah, I do, like, sometimes I do cryptocurrency trading, sometimes I do mining, and people are like, what? And then I'm like, oh yeah, you've heard of Bitcoin? Like, I always use that as a reference point.
100%.
And then I'm like, okay, well, yeah, not Bitcoin, but other ones.
But right.
But like Bitcoin.
Right. That usually seems to be how the conversation goes. Because, you know, Bitcoin's now been up all over the news. I mean, CNBC, Forbes magazine, Wall Street Journal, CNN. I mean, you name it, it's been there. All the mainstream news, and obviously not mainstream news, you know, InfoWars, like Alex Jones type stuff. But there's like, it's anywhere, any source of information that you get your, you know, information from, it's going to be talking about Bitcoin if it covers, you know, global concepts and what's going on around the world. So in your personal opinion, Colin, for 2018, what do you think, what coin do you think is going to have the greatest return? I mean, that's just what everyone wants to know.
Rayblox.
Rayblox.
R-A-I blocks.
Well, I'm writing that down. Rayblocks. And you can...
Probably IOTA, but a lot of people say that it's a show coin, so, you know, I don't know. And Ripple, it seems like a lot of people talk about Ripple. A lot of people are saying, like, oh, the banks are going to use it as their currency and blah blah blah, but Ripple is centralized. So
how is Ripple centralized? I didn't know that.
And so it's basically defying what crypto, like, the banks love it because it is centralized. They can control it. But anyone that actually is in this world will say, like, I'm not going to mess with that because it completely defeats the purpose of this cryptographic currency.
This decentralized cryptonic currency that actually that's run on a peer-to-peer networking system. So how is it that Ripple is centralized?
It's like, just the way that it was built. Not enough people mine it, so they built their own servers, basically.
That's dangerous.
Yeah, it is dangerous, right?
That's dangerous.
That's how you get manipulated. But it did have lots of gains this year, so...
For sure. Yeah, I'm sure it had lots of
gains.
So
that's not the... I think the real question is, what will have the most gains, but also be...
serving its decentralized purpose.
Not like, only decentralized, but, like, what will serve its purpose the best. Like, it doesn't, the decentralization isn't necessarily the main purpose of most coins. It's kind of just like the background of it, or like what it's built on.
The foundation, yeah, the kind foundation. Of the construct behind
it. And you can't really advertise, like, oh, this house is so nice, but did you see the foundation?
Yeah.
Like, that's the selling point here.
Yeah, that makes sense. No, that makes sense. And I think that's a great way to look at it too, because there's a lot of people that get sold on the fact that it's decentralized, which is awesome and super badass. But as you said, that shouldn't be your determining factor, because all cryptocurrencies are decentralized, I guess, minus Ripple. But are there any other centralized cryptocurrencies that you know of?
No, not that I know of. But yes, there are.
Crazy. That's crazy. And do you know who the governing entity is of Ripple? Like, is it just a supercomputer that...
No, it's the creators.
Wow. That's even more dangerous.
Yeah.
No FDIC or nothing like that. But, I mean, it's not like they... Yeah, the FDIC...
It's amazing how much the news manipulates points. Yeah. I mean, price of these coins.
Yeah.
Sometimes I Google something like, oh, Google Ripple. I'll look back at the price and it went up. Just because sometimes it's like, I think like, wow, am I every time I Google this coin, it just goes up in price? Like, obviously that doesn't really make sense, but it just sometimes seems like that.
But like, kind of like to an extent it does, because like Google's algorithms, like they see how many people are Googling this, and that actually does add value. The more momentum there is to a coin, the more energy people are putting into a specific cryptocurrency.
Isn't that scary though? Isn't that scary? You can kind of like, if you put a filter on everyone, nobody's able to say the word Ripple anymore.
Right.
Nobody is able to say that word, not even by word of mouth. It somehow that lowers your investment. You're like, I lost all my money because the government put a filter on the word Ripple.
Right.
I mean, that's some Black Mirror stuff, but like,
oh, for sure. No, it makes 100% sense though. It's momentum grows where energy goes, and money and purchasing power is momentum. It's just energy. That's really what it comes down to.
So what's your game plan for 2017? Do you have any...
For 18?
Or to, yeah, yeah. To 2018. What's your game plan?
Personally, I want to stay diversified. Well, you're my game plan. I'm going to stay diversified in definitely Bitcoin, keep mining Ethereum. I'm going to stay smart with not... like putting too much money into Bitcoin if I see it starting to go up, because I know that there's going to be a downswing. Litecoin, obviously, I want to wait for it to go down a little bit. And then, like you said, I'm going to do exactly what you said, Colin, is I'm going to invest in different altcoins.
I particularly like the idea of moving away from, like not all the way, obviously, but... moving away from relying on just having investments, but using tools. For example, robo-traders. Robo-traders are a really good way to have not necessarily crazy gains, like some coins going up 73% overnight.
Sure.
But it's a consistent gain that is higher than any savings account you could put your money into. And one of my favorite robo-traders that I've been looking into, the method is basically called arbitrage. And arbitrage is trading between exchanges for different prices. So exchange X has this coin listed as $1. And then the other exchange Y has it listed as 93 cents. So you would trade your 93 cents coin for a dollar and then keep going down the line, because they all have, or like basically you say you end up, you go like four trades.
Sure.
You end up with your coins worth $1.08. Then your original exchange for some reason goes up to like $1.10. You trade it back. And there's robo-traders that do that for you. They just go between. And obviously, you would use a coin that has no transaction fees.
Right.
And you would just trade between. And it goes pretty quickly, especially with some coins like Litecoin. You wouldn't really do it with Bitcoin because it's slow.
Sure.
But there's robots that do this for you. Just keep your computer on and it runs it for you.
Wow. That's amazing. And is that similar to binary trading, or that's different?
I don't know what binary trading is.
Yeah, well, yeah, like we had talked about the binary trading. It's like those bots that for every time you buy and sell, it's like you make a return. If you short the market and you get it correctly, then you make money.
That's a different method, but I'm down. Anything, yeah. There's sites that you can basically rent techniques or methods or whatever for trading. And Word. People, like, it'll be like $10 a month, and you can even, like, do, like, cold trading. Basically, you're just trading with fake money and seeing if it works. And just, like, you can... I think those kinds of tools are honestly safer than investing in a bunch of different altcoins. You basically just invest in a couple and then use those techniques and grow steadily instead of just waiting for the market to tell you how much you've grown.
Smart. Yeah, dude, slow and steady. Slow and steady wins the race.
It does, yeah. And there's one that I use called USI that basically it advertises at 1%, but it's more like 0.8%.
Yeah.
But still, in a month, it was, for me, it was like $150 profit.
Yeah.
So, like, on a $700 investment. So, it's like, that to me is better than any savings account. I can't,
totally.
Savings accounts are like 1.5% at most a year.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah, if you have like 100 grand in the bank, you're not going to be like... No.
More or less immune to market volatility, though.
Absolutely. But simultaneously, the purchasing power of that currency is dropping because we're printing more money and we're inflating it. So it's like your $100,000 at the beginning of 2000, let's just say 16, versus the purchasing power of your $100,000 at the end of 2016, it's devalued, you know?
Well, did you hear about the euro actually had a flash crash?
No
just
way.
Just like Ethereum did last year, it went down 3% in a second, and they are saying it's because of robo traders, but
wow,
fiat currency is not safe. People think it's safe,
no, it's
but
not.
It's not.
It's not.
And the government inflates money so that people don't just hold it.
Exactly.
Like, people are like, yeah, I'll just put $25,000 in a savings account and I'll leave it for 10 years.
Right.
That is a bad plan.
It's one of the worst things you could do.
Because a year you'll probably be losing money.
You will. You will. Because the money inflates and the purchasing power drops 100%.
Yeah.
And it's the same reason. It's like, you know, 5 years ago, you could get a bag of avocados for 10 years ago, like $1.50, right? 10 years ago, you get it for like 75 cents. Today, it's like $5. And it's exponentially increasing. Also, if you go on usdebtclock.org, you can see the exponential increase of debt that our country is going into. Colin, actually, something super wise that you have brought up. Oh, wow. $69 trillion. $69.58 trillion. So $69.58 trillion and counting, about $100,000 a second in debt. And that's just going up and up and up and up. And that's in the USD asset class. So for people that understand the idea of cryptocurrencies, but they're still stuck in the old paradigm of believing in fiat currencies, right? So let's say that they took some money, they put it in precious metals, gold and silver, it's wealth insurance. What would you say, you know, because now a lot of people are saying, well, crypto, or, you know, Bitcoin, especially Bitcoin, is gold 2.0. And it's like, how is it gold 2.0? Well, you have a market cap of 21 million. It cannot be duplicated. It can't be incorrectly verified because due to miners verifying each of the transactions. It can't be inflated because of the 21 million market cap. What would you say to someone, because I also deal with this a lot at people that I work with, where people say, well, if I'm investing in wealth insurance, but I also want to multiply my wealth, why wouldn't I just put it into precious metals as opposed to cryptocurrencies? How is cryptocurrencies equally as safe, if not a little bit safer?
Is it safe? I don't think it's safe. It's a bet.
It's a bet. Okay, there we go.
It is a bet. It is one of the most volatile markets that exist in this planet right now.
Totally.
But in terms of long-term investment, I want to believe it's safe.
Yeah.
I believe in it wholeheartedly, but doesn't mean anything.
Right.
Tomorrow everybody could sell everything.
Yeah.
Except here's my thought is Bitcoin, 21 million. I think like 70% of them have been mined already.
Yeah. It's like almost 17 million.
Okay. Yeah. So, basically everyone owns one of those coins,
right?
Every single one of them, someone owns them either by mining or buying them or whatever. Right. Every single one is owned. And so that means that not everybody could sell them. Like,
right.
So say Fred over there decides, I'm going to buy all the Bitcoins. I'm going to buy them all. Like he goes to every single person, buy them all.
Yeah.
The value would stay the same.
Right.
It has to, right?
Right.
Like it would just stay completely static until he decides, oh God, I spent all my money on buying all the Bitcoins. So he's like, I need to buy a cup of coffee tomorrow. I'm going to trade.
And it starts to circulate.
Now it starts to be volatile again.
Right.
The thing is, like, how can everybody sell all of them? Like, where would the money come from? It would have to, somebody would have to hold them.
Totally.
So either somebody buys them all and then just keeps them and then destroys the network with, but like, you know, it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. Right. Of course. And then so would you say for people that are worried about a currency crisis, for people that are, they understand that the USD is inflating beyond a point of no return. They see that there's, and if you guys study this, you'll see that this is actually true. This is factual information. There are trade treaties that are being put in place each and every single day that actually bypass the US dollar, which means that when countries trade goods and services, they have treaties in place where they don't need to do what's called a currency exchange, where you have to actually swap it. Let's say you have a ruble from India, and then you want to purchase something from China with a yuan, and so traditionally in trading, that ruble would have to exchange into USD, and then that USD's exchange rate between ruble and the yuan would be how much yuan you get for the ruble. But now they're basically bypassing the exchange rate with USD. So I guess what I'm saying is trade treaties are being put in place to bypass the USD. People are worried about a currency crisis. People are losing faith in the US dollar. Colin, in your educated...
Oh, God, that would be the best thing for cryptocurrency.
Oh, absolutely.
It would literally make everything go up sky high.
So what would the standard be?
The standard...
Or like a Satoshi? Like
God,
we were
I don't know.
Like, what an interesting concept. So if the dollar becomes essentially valueless, you know, you think of that picture of the guy wheelbarrow in 1930, like right after the Great Depression, 1929, 1930, there's a wheelbarrow of just cash. So if one Bitcoin's worth $1 million, but $1 million is equivalent to
like a dollar.
A dollar.
Yeah.
Then cryptocurrencies in and of itself would have to have a new monetary standard.
Well, a Satoshi, I guess, could be that, but it generally refers to it. So, like, right now, I could look up, like, so a Satoshi generally refers to Bitcoin, but...
Word.
But you can look up, my Ethereum is worth this many Satoshi, but the Satoshi is referring to Bitcoin.
Right.
So, like, I guess Bitcoin would be the standard.
Right.
But, like...
And then it would be kind of like
a Satoshi. A Satoshi is 1/100,000,000th of a Bitcoin.
Okay.
So
right.
So I guess you could refer that to every other cryptocurrency.
Sure.
Yeah.
That makes sense. That makes sense. And 1/100,000,000th of a Bitcoin would be enough to, or would be a small enough dividend, like a small enough divisible figure to where all the other cryptocurrencies could find value within one Satoshi.
Well, a Satoshi, is worth... What?
Like like a 1/100th of a penny or something like that. Like
it would be better than the U.S. dollar, honestly.
For sure.
Like it would be more divisible. You'd be able to get more specific with your prices.
Absolutely.
Like gas will be 4,000 satoshis.
Right.
Instead of it being on the boards, you're seeing like 3.59 and 9/10 of a cent.
Right.
Which doesn't really make sense if you think about it. It is now just a specific number, 4,153 satoshis.
Right.
And I think that would be really good for the world to have that specific, have our money go to 8 integers.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I totally agree. And getting more specific with the integers would actually allow for it would open so many doors. It's just crazy. Man, we literally have like 1 minute, 30 seconds left here on the show. Time flies when you're having fun, man. Colin, was there anything else coming into 2018? First of all, Happy New Year to you, brother.
Let 2018 be the most constructive year of your life. That's my plan. Just construct.
Yes. Beautifully said. Yeah. As Colin said, may 2018 be the most constructive year of your life. Feel free to, if you're interested in getting more information and actually making money, turning your fiat currency USD and multiplying your USD and turning it into Bitcoin and multiplying it into Bitcoin, feel free to reach out to Colin. He works with a company, USI Tech, and they're absolutely amazing. If this interests you guys at all, you want to get some more information, talk to him about it. You could start off with one package at $60 if you wanted to, or you could go in with $600,000, whatever you wanted. Feel free to email Colin. What's your email, Colin?
colinwcurran@gmail.com.
It's colinwcurran@gmail.com. Or if you guys ever want to reach out to me, I can connect you with Colin. You can always email me, davesvibrationstation@gmail.com. Wow, guys, what an amazing start to a new year. All the unconditional love, light, happiness, abundance, joy, and laughter from our hearts to yours. Colin, thank you so much for taking your Sunday afternoon and sharing your knowledge, wisdom, and profound compassion with us, brother. We love you very much.
Bon voyage, world.
Bon voyage, world. Love you guys, and we will see you next year. Woo! May this be a great, prosperous year. Love you guys. Peace.